91.3 WLRN presents South Florida Arts Beat. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Today, Amanda Bush brings us the exciting details about the 38th annual Art Deco Weekend coming up on Miami Beach. Charles Greenfield speaks with artistic director Lourdes Lopez about Miami City Ballet's 2015 Enchanting Season events. Film critic Dan Hudak previews the 25th Donald Ephraim Palm Beach Jewish Film Festival. Chef Norman Van Aken presents A Word on Food, and our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar features Deborah Margol. Please stay with us to catch the arts conversation and information coming up on South Florida Arts Beat right after these news updates from NPR and the WLRN Miami Herald News. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the show, Charles Greenfield speaks with Miami City Ballet's artistic director, Lourdes Lopez, about their enticing 2015 performances. Film critic Dan Hudak previews the 25th Donald Ephraim Palm Beach Jewish Film Festival with festival director Ellen Wedner. Chef Norman Van Aken delivers A Word on Food, and our arts calendar features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. With a mission to preserve, protect, and promote the cultural, social, economic, environmental, and architectural integrity of the Miami Beach Architectural Historic District, the not-for-profit Miami Design Preservation League was incorporated on May 6, 1977, and their leader, Barbara Bear Capitman, and her son, John, gathered a legion of supporters who ushered in a revival for South Beach, and the rest is history, as they say. The annual celebration of all things Art Deco takes place this year, January 16th through the 18th, with the 38th annual Art Deco Weekend, and it's the Miami Beach Centennial we will be welcoming. And here with us today to talk about the excitement is Amanda McMaster, formerly Amanda Bush, still the same gal of the Miami Design Preservation League. And welcome back to the show, Amanda.
Thank you for having me, Ed.
Congratulations on your marriage.
Thank
back
you.
In November. Bravo.
Yes, thank you so much.
Now, bring us up to date with what has happened this past year with the Miami Design Preservation League, and then we'll get into the voluminous events for Art Deco Weekend this year. It's mind-numbing. You all have so much going on. More information at artdecoweekend.com. But how did it go for the past year for the MDPL?
The past year was absolutely amazing. Our biggest accomplishment, which we focused on the most, was our new Art Deco Museum, which opened in October.
It's beautiful.
And we welcome everybody to come down and check it out. That was kind of our main focus. We also have some advocacy efforts going on to continue to save historic single-family homes in Miami Beach. We've been working with the North Beach district to try to kind of save some of the properties in there and educate people about why it's important to save those MIMO buildings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of other stuff, but we're mostly thrilled with our museum because that's been something we've been working on for many years and it's finally here. So.
And new exhibitions every so often, and we'll touch on that. But first, let's get to, as I say, the voluminous wonder of the 38th annual Art Deco Weekend. And I always like to start with the music because this year is just fantastic. You've brought back my grand old friend Alan Harris, and he'll be performing. You're featuring the Bobby Rodriguez Big Band, a super South Florida big band. But Friday, you've got some new names on the bill.
Yes, so we're actually welcoming the Deco Tones. They've been with us for a few years. They're coming back. One of our favorites, Sarah Jane and the Blue Notes, she's performing several times throughout the weekend. She comes from St. Louis. She's absolutely fabulous. We're so excited to have her. And we're trying out some new bands like the Shiny Shoes Big Band, just trying to keep that retro feel and bring back some big bands and jazz into Art Deco Weekend. And one one act we're really excited about is Kat Shell. She's a local musician in South Florida. She does a great act where she, called Kat Shell as Kitty Carmichael, and it's retro tunes kind of put to a modern day beat, and it's just absolutely amazing, and we can't wait to see it.
So you're really supporting South Florida musicians as well. That can give you what you're looking for, as you say, a little retro feel and maybe an updating Kat Shell, probably putting modern day rhythms to her tunes.
Absolutely, yeah. We love to support local artists and talent, so however we can do that.
Moving quickly on to the lecture series. Every year, the Art Deco Weekend features great lectures. And this year, many are really catching my eye, particularly Carolyn Lepser has released a new publication, Lost Miami Beach. And she'll be featured Saturday, January 17th at 3 p.m. Tell us about some of the others.
This year, as you mentioned, we're celebrating the 100 years of Miami Beach, the Miami Beach Centennial. So some of our lectures are focusing on the history of Miami Beach in different decades. And then we'll continue that lecture series throughout the year. On Friday night, we open it with Art Deco of Napier, New Zealand, with our sponsors, Art Deco Napier. So they'll tell you all about that city.
And Art Deco in New Zealand.
Art Deco in New Zealand.
Wow.
So they're absolutely wonderful. They're actually hosting a little cocktail party after for people who go to see that lecture and some VIPs. And they're fabulous.
They're offering a great prize.
Yeah, and they're sponsoring, so they're actually offering a 5-day trip to Napier, New Zealand as part of a different event, our Deco Dance-a-thon this year. So if you go to our website, artdecoweekend.com, and you go to Deco Dance-a-thon link, you can read about it, get your ticket, and you could win a trip to New Zealand or a bunch of other really great prizes. So
you have to know how to swing dance, though, I bet, don't you?
No, you can just go and have some fun or just get your ticket, and then you could win prizes. You don't even have to dance if you don't want to.
So the lecture series kicks off Friday, January 16th at 6 p.m. with this New Zealand Art Deco of Napier, New Zealand event. Sally Jackson will be talking about it. Who'd have thunk it? Carolyn Klepser. On Saturday the 17th at 3 p.m., talking about her new book, Lost Miami Beach. Can't wait to hear about that. You mentioned the first annual Deco Dance-a-thon. Amplify that, if you would. That takes place Saturday the 17th from 3 to 6 p.m., and that's out at the Promenade 12th and Ocean?
Yes, so we have a promenade area where we'll have some Art Deco antiques, some mid-century modern antiques on display. We'll have a little bar sponsored by the original Miami Beach Antique Show. We'll have our stage. That's where all of our musical performances will happen, and some great events like the Deco Dance-a-thon, which is really just 3 hours of a really great DJ playing tunes from the 1920s to the modern day, where you can just come and dance.
Wow.
And have fun. If you buy a ticket, the money just goes to support our efforts for our not-for-profit, and you're eligible to win some absolutely amazing prizes like a trip to New Zealand. And then
fun.
Another thing we got going on there is Friday night, we're actually kicking off the promenade with our Lindy Hop Festival at night. It's from 8 to 11. 200 dancers are coming, and they're going to be in retro clothes, and they know how to dance, and you should just come watch it.
200?
Yeah, that's what they tell me. We're partnered with the South Florida Lindy Collective. They've gathered all these dancers, and they're coming. So it will be something to watch, good music. Alan Harris plays before that happens, so that will be fabulous. Come watch him and stay for the dancers.
Now, that's Friday, the January 16th.
16th, yep.
8 until 11. 200 dancers out there on the street on Miami Beach.
On the sand, actually.
On the sand.
In the park, sand, yeah.
Yeah, let's hope so, because, you know, to swing dancing is dangerous.
Yeah, we rented this huge dance floor. It's going to be amazing, so.
Wow, that's incredible. You've helped to add a lot of great fun new events to the Art Deco Weekend. Once again, more information at ArtDecoWeekend.com. They're on Twitter at ArtDecoWeekend, Facebook at ArtDecoWeekend. And for more concise info about the Miami Design Preservation League, the great not-for-profit, go to mdpl.org. You can also call 305-531-3481. And your location is at 1001 Ocean Drive, where you've got the beautiful... Is that correct? Where you've got the beautiful new museum.
Oh, yes. That was our number to the gift shop, but you can reach our office at 305-672-2014.
I don't know where to go. Now, you've got the Art Deco and Mid-Century Design Show and Sale as well, another component.
That's part of the promenade. We're welcoming back modernismgallery.com. They have some beautiful items from the Art Deco era, furniture, accessories, art. And then they also have some mid-century items. Both will be on displays in these beautiful boutiques right on the hard pack there by the park.
Just a few seconds left with Amanda McMaster, Director of Marketing for the Miami Design Preservation League, talking about the 38th annual Art Deco Weekend. It's the Miami Beach Centennial, and that's their theme this year. Classic cars, strolling characters, and comedians all throughout the street.
Yep, we have our classic car parade Saturday morning again. The Mayor Levine of Miami Beach is our Grand Marshal. We have Sobe Shirley's Entertaining. We have a Life is Art block, which is all artists along the street from 11th to 12th Street. We have our outdoor film series featuring films made in Miami Beach. We have our dog show coming back on Sunday. Well, a dog parade, so you can bring out your dog absolutely free.
Bring out your kids as well.
Bring your kids. We have a great kids area.
And it's the 38th annual Art Deco Weekend. We've run out of time, Amanda. I'm so sorry, but what fun, what fun. And once again, that's the 38th annual Art Deco Weekend, and that is the 16th through the 18th on Miami Beach. Good luck this year. It sounds like
Thank
a
you.
Ball.
Thank you.
Welcome back to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, you can hear our film critic Dan Hudak preview the Mandel JCC's 25th Donald Ephraim Palm Beach Jewish Film Festival with Ellen Wedner, as well as Chef Norman Van Aken's A Word on Food and our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar featuring Deborah Margol. Now, our classical arts contributor, Charles Greenfield, reveals the 2015 Miami City Ballet's performance schedule with their artistic director, Ms. Lourdes Lopez.
Artistic director Lourdes Lopez continues her outstanding work with the Miami City Ballet with three exciting programs for 2015. After a sold-out series this past December, performances of the Balanchine Tchaikovsky Nutcracker at the Arts Center, the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, and the Kravis Center in Palm Beach, Lourdes Lopez and the Miami City Ballet offer three themes for the rest of the season. Program 2, Hear the Dance, starts in January. Program 3, Passion and Grace, starts February. And Program 4, Points of Departure, starts in March. Program 2 starts tonight at the Arts Center with Twyla Tharp's 9 Sinatra Songs, a Miami City Ballet audience favorite, Paul Taylor's Mercuric Tidings with music by Schubert, and Balanchine's Symphony in 3 Movements with music by Stravinsky. Program 3 at the Arsht in February features Balanchine's renowned Allegro Brillante with music by Tchaikovsky, Tharp's Sweet Fields based on Shaker hymns sung a cappella, and choreographer Richard Alston's version of Bizet's Carmen, which Alston has said, quote, looks like Miami with a slightly Art Deco detail on the wings. And program 4 starts with the world premiere of Heartscape by the young, talented choreographer Justin Peck, with design by artist Shepard Ferry, and ends with The Concert by the great choreographer Jerome Robbins. Recently, I had the opportunity to speak with Lourdes Lopez about the Miami City Ballet and their continuing 2015 performance series. Lourdes Lopez, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
It is wonderful to be here with you, Charles, again.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit about the Nutcracker, because we just had apparently sold-out performances of the Nutcracker. Yeah. Tell us where, when, and how it went.
It went actually very well. I'm not sure the dancers want to talk about Nutcracker, because we did something like 25 performances.
Good goodness.
No, it's a wonderful time of year to perform it, and it's a ballet that just never, ever grows old. The music, the story, the choreography, as you know, we do George Balanchine's version, and we had tremendous success everywhere we went with it, and we hope to do it for many, many years to come.
Three venues.
We did at the Arsht, at the Broward Performing Arts Center, and at the Kravis Center.
And the costumes, what were they like?
The costumes are the costumes that we've always used. They're based on the Balanchine production, and they're just beautiful. We have the mice, the tree that grows, the Mother Commedia, the Polichinelles, the party scene with the grandparents, the dolls that come to life. I mean, it's just magical. It is magical. It always works.
The kids probably were besides themselves.
Yes, both on the stage and off the stage.
Well, here we are starting program 2, because there's a program 2, 3, and 4 for 2015. The title of the show is Hear the Dance. Where did that come from?
It came from the fact that the three works that are going on for that program, which are Mercuric Tidings by Paul Taylor, Symphony in Three Movements by George Balanchine, and 9 Sinatra Songs by Twyla Tharp, were created and inspired specifically for the music. In other words, there were direct inspiration. The choreographers got their direct inspiration from the composition. So, for example, Symphony in Three Movements, the composer is Igor Stravinsky. He wrote this in the mid-1940s, and he was inspired by the end of World War II. So you hear the percussion, you hear the kind of the rhythmic, the marching, the beat in it, and it's thrusting and it's jet propelled. And you see this in the choreography as well. The same thing with 9 Sinatra Songs. It's obviously all the songs that old Blue Eyes himself, Frank Sinatra, would sing, the melodies, you know, Leaving You Softly, Strangers in the Night, those beautiful romantic songs that he sang. And her response is social dancing. So you have 9 separate couples that have different relationships that all have to do with love, you know, the mature love, the naive love, the not so nice love. And then finally, we have Mercuric Tidings. The composer is Schubert, and it's Paul Taylor's reaction to Schubert. The piece is very cinematic in scope. It's big, it's bold, it feels like you're in front of this Panavision or Panasonic, you know, screen. And that's what the work is: tremendous energy, vibrant, bold, fast, very much alive.
I'm thinking in the songs, the 9 Sinatra songs, that Sinatra himself, when he sang, was extremely careful about phrasing, about the end of each line. And I'm thinking, what does she do about the words themselves, where you come from the end of one line to the next? Is that translated into dance?
I don't know if there's that direct translation to the text. There is a direct translation in terms of the feeling of the pas de deux to the lyrics in the works. And you see that in, especially, you know, One for the Road and the other ones, My Way. You know that those dance characters, even though it's not a direct narrative, that they are picking up, or she has chosen steps and moods that are directly influenced by the words.
So legato, staccato.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so you'll get that.
And personalities and the costumes, it's a direct inspiration.
Well, after part 2, you have program number 3, which comes in February. And I might just add that the first program, which is January 9th, which is this Friday,
yes,
and ends, I believe, on the 25th of January at Kravis Center.
Exactly, yes.
Okay. And then in February, we move over to another type of genre, which would be Passion and Grace. What did that name come from?
Well, I blame the marketing, no. Passion and Grace is because we have Allegro Brillante, George Balanchine's Allegro Brillante, which is to Tchaikovsky's Piano Concerto, and actually the unfinished Piano Concerto. He only did the first movement, and he passed away and never completed it. And then we have Sweet Fields by Twyla Tharp again, and that's to Walter Billings' 18th century Shaker hymn. So it's all sung a cappella. and it's just beautiful. It's a heavenly piece. It's a celestial piece. It's also a very sophisticated piece with costumes by Norma Kamali, and there's a real sense of community. There's a real sense of ownership. There's a real sense that the dancers are dancing with each other and for each other. And I just thought it was really a wonderful, very different work for Miami City Ballet because the company is such a has such a familial feeling to it. We are such a strong and fun community. And then the last piece is Carmen, Bizet's Carmen, to the Chedrin score. And the choreographer is Richard Alston. And it is a modern telling of the Carmen story.
So we're not in the cigarette factory anymore?
Well, you are, but you're not going to really be able to tell. No, what I love about it is that it's neoclassical vocabulary. So he tells the story in 50 minutes in one act. And you have abstract setting, but the classical costumes. It's just extraordinary. It really is. I've really seen a Carmen. I've really seen a choreographer really, truly bring that Carmen to life the way Richard Alston has.
Does he emphasize certain famous parts of Carmen?
The Toreador, the aria, all of that. And it's in 15 minutes with all the characters, the fortune teller, Carmen, Don Jose, the matador. It's wonderful. And it's also a work that not only artistically is at a very high level, there no company in the United States has performed the Carmen. We're the only ones. It's only been seen in Europe. We're the only ones he's allowed to do it. So not only artistically is it a work of value, but for our dancers, it's something that our dancers and our community can really grab a hold of. They get it. They understand it. It's in their blood. So it'll be wonderful. And it's a very exciting program, that third one.
It certainly is. You said classical costuming. What do you mean by that?
Meaning you have the matador costumes. You have the skirts with the ruffles. They're not modern. They're actually classical. The colors, the cut, they look like Spanish costumes.
Now, those shows will be in February, of course, starting Friday, February 13th through, I believe, March 1st, ending at the Kravis Center.
Yes.
Right. And then program four, Points of Departure. Again, the title, Points of Departure.
Points of Departure really has to do with Justin Peck's new commission for Miami City Ballet, which is really where dance, where ballet specifically, I shouldn't say dance, where ballet specifically can go, should go, is going. And what I love about this program four is that for those individuals who think of ballet as one thing, meaning tutus and tiaras and pink tights and pointe shoes, they're going to get a huge surprise because we do open with that. We open with Balanchine's Raymonda to Glazunov's gorgeous, gorgeous music. And it's tutus and it's tights and, you know, everything you would want to have in a ballet performance. And then we have Jerome Robbins' The Concert, which is a comedic masterpiece. It is to Chopin's music, and he actually makes fun of what happens in individuals' minds when they're going to, you know, the imaginings, their subconscious going wild when they go to watch a performance. And it is hysterical. It is really, truly one of the funniest pieces of dance work historically ever. And I know that whoever goes to see it, I'm sure that they're going to leave the theater cackling. I mean, when I used to dance it, I would actually hear the audience out loud from the stage just roaring with laughter. And then after that, we have Justin Peck's new commission, which is to Martin Hughes' Piano Concerto No. 1. He collaborated with the street artist Shepard Fairey. So for me, it's dance in the 21st century. And the beauty of this program is that all three works are different stages, different parts, but they all come from the classical vocabulary, which is hundreds and hundreds of years old.
And very quickly, the dates on this will be?
We open the program four at the Arsht on April 10th.
We can always go to the
website. Yes, you can go to the miamicityballet.org, and they'll have all the dates there. Or you can just call our box office, which is 305-929-7000.
Well, I want to just tell you that it sounds so exciting, and I know you're off to New York, I believe, and also to...
Yes, it's a very exciting year for Miami City Ballet. We, on January 18th and 19th, we've been invited to perform at the Guggenheim, part of their Works in Process series, and we'll be bringing five of our dancers along. along with Justin Peck and Shepard Fairey to talk about the new commission. And then we've been invited to Vancouver and Ottawa in February and March, respectively. And we'll be doing all of our rep there, from the Balanchine works that we do, plus Carmen, plus the symphonic dances, which we did last year. So we're very excited about this international tour.
Well, it sounds so much fun. And I think our listeners need to keep their dance shoes on. And I want to thank you so much.
It's a pleasure to be here. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Miami City Ballet makes going to great dance performances easy and affordable for concert goers with three locations, from Miami's Arts Center, Broward's Center for the Performing Arts, and Palm Beach's Kravis Center. For ticket information, contact toll-free at 877-929-7010 or 305-929-7010, and purchase online at miamicityballet.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield is a classical music contributor for the Sun Sentinel and has written for the Miami Herald. You can email him at cdgpm@bellsouth.net. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat continues in just a moment. It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the program, Chef Norman Van Aken brings us a word on food, and our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar features Deborah Margol. Now, we preview the 25th Donald Ephraim Palm Beach Jewish Film Festival with film critic Dan Hudak and festival director Ms. Ellen Wedner.
This year, more than ever, as the Donald M. Ephraim Palm Beach Jewish Film Festival hits its silver anniversary, what it truly means to be Jewish is at the forefront of the festival's themes. There are about 70 films in the festival, which runs from January 15th through February 8th, and they come from all over the world, and topics vary from Jewish culture and arts to historical achievements and social change. One movie focused on social change is Joachim Prinz's I Shall Not Be Silent, a documentary about a rabbi who spoke openly against the Nazis in Berlin in the 1930s and later spoke at the March on Washington in 1963. Here's an excerpt from the film's trailer, taken from one of Prinz's speeches.
The most important thing that I learned in my life is that bigotry and hatred are not the most urgent problem. The most urgent, the most disgraceful, the most shameful, and the most tragic problem is silence.
Joachim Prinz's I Shall Not Be Silent is part of the Real Issues documentary screening series at the 25th Annual Palm Beach Jewish Film Festival. Joining us now to talk about all the screenings, guests, and events is Festival Director Ellen Wedner. Ellen, thank you for joining us on South Florida Arts Beat.
My pleasure.
Now, you ran the Miami Jewish Film Festival for 10 years. This is your second year in Palm Beach. I'm curious to know, what's the biggest difference you found between the Miami Festival and now in Palm Beach?
Well, in terms of the festival, there's not a lot that's different. We all try to bring the best films we can. I know Miami is still doing that, and we are doing that in Palm Beach. This is a much bigger festival. It's 3 weeks, 71 films, so it's in three different locations. You know, sometimes, Dan, in South Florida, people just don't want to drive. So we're taking the festival to them. We're in Boca Raton, we're in Delray Beach, and we're in Palm Beach Gardens. Palm Beach County is a large, large, large county. And the other thing that's different is this was an opportunity to do something that I've always personally wanted to do, which is build a year-round film department. And yes, there is enough Jewish film and social issue film to do that.
What are some of the most prominent themes that you're finding in the Jewish films you program this year?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, I used to say years ago when I came on the program that we were trying very hard not to be a Holocaust film festival. We want people to know we entertain and we engage and we have lots of different things. This year, I've had difficulty finding things that I thought would really tell a good story about the Holocaust. Instead, I found some things that really cover very current issues in other countries, the 1950s, which, you know, people just didn't talk about. Anti-Semitism in France, current in the 2000s. Delhi in New York and Texas, football in Israel, American football in Israel. So it's just sort of all over the place. And I think that's what makes an interesting film festival, a little something for everybody.
Yeah, you're kind of narrowing in on Jewish identity and what it means. And it means a lot of different things in a lot of different places. And yet there's a unity to it at the same time. You have numerous filmmakers and guests coming to town, including Nancy Spielberg. She's his sister, for those who are wondering, for Above and Beyond, your opening night film.
Yes. We're really very excited about this film because it's a film about the foundation of the Israeli Air Force and how many American men pilots went and volunteered their time after, you know, surviving World War II to do this. And so I think it's really very exciting. The film is made by Roberta Grossman. She is the director. Nancy was the producer of the film. And Roberta, a few years ago, I think the last year I was in Miami, did a film called Hava Nagila. And we all know she's a wonderful documentarian that makes good film that entertains and educates at the same time. So right away, we knew we were going to look at it. And Nancy brings something different to the plate because she really knew these pilots and really can talk intelligently about them. So I think it's going to be a pretty interesting night.
Absolutely. And then you have something that's very cool. I mean, the great thing about film festivals, you have your dramas and your comedies, but you also have great documentaries showing your real issues documentaries, three that I want to touch on. One is Esther Broner, A Weave of Women. I've never heard of her, but she transcended what it meant to be Jewish and a woman in the 1970s.
I mean, that's what's amazing. I had never heard of her either. And I think that's the point of the film. Lily Revlon, who made the film, is coming for one of the screenings. And we really wanted to sort of connect Judaism, if you will, and the whole concept of how we live our life to a broader world. And I think that by doing real issues, we're tying into other communities and offering something that everybody in Palm Beach will be interested in. While she was Jewish and very much promoted the cause of Jewish feminism, there was also a fight for just feminists in the 70s, and she much mirrors that. And it's really fun to see a young Bella Abzug and a young Gloria Steinem. So it's a really interesting film. I think it's going to be really, really wonderful.
And then there's a film called Joachim.
Very good,
Prinz.
Dan.
Joachim Prinz, I Shall Not Be Silent. I mean, this guy, he's a rabbi in Berlin in the 1930s speaking out against the Nazis. And then he continues his work and he's at the March on Washington right next to Martin Luther King. It's a phenomenal story.
It's a phenomenal story. And I think one of the most interesting things about this film is since we've published the brochure and opened up our website and people have started to hear, so many people have walked up to me at different events and said, he bar mitzvahed me. I knew his kids. I was in his congregation. He was really the kind of person I think we all hope to be. He was arrested 4 or 5 times by the Gestapo, but he didn't stop telling the Jews, leave Germany. It's not good here. He was the chief rabbi at a very young age. And when he came here into Newark and he had his congregation, he really wanted to have an opportunity to say, this isn't right, when he saw what was happening in the 50s and 60s. And he said, we have to speak out. We all do. And it's probably a lesson we should all learn today.
Yes, absolutely. And not just speak out, but also, I think, collaborate and work
exactly
together toward a greater good. Talking with Ellen Wender, the Palm Beach Jewish Film Festival starts January 15th. The third film in the Real Issue documentaries series is called Of Many. And I love movies like this. You have a rabbi and an imam. You have Jewish and Muslim students on college campuses, and they're working together. And it's just showing a unity and a power of a common humanity that we all share, and then the ability to get beyond all those other things that keep us apart. Not that those things aren't important, but all those other things that keep us apart.
Well, you know, one of the students says in the film, this may not be a conversation that can be had in the Middle East, but we think it's one that has to be had here. And that's the hope of the next generation. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons why we're showing it.
Yeah, it's a great choice. You also have a tribute to the great Leni Kazan, Oy Vey, My Son is Gay. The film's from 2010, but she's coming to town.
She's coming to town. She's accepting a Jewish Film Arts Award. And we just thought it's fun. You know, this is the 25th year of the Donald M. Ephraim Palm Beach Jewish Film Festival. And so we really wanted to do something different and fun. And we thought bringing Leni would be fun because she's just a lovely person. People can come and have dessert with her and talk to her. And then we're going to do this fun film that's all about family, which is really what it should be about.
And speaking of fun, you also have a film called Quality Balls, the David Steinberg story.
Yeah.
About a comedian who turned director, and a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And the name Quality Balls, just so you're in case any of you were wondering, comes from an interview he did with Jerry Seinfeld when he was really the first person to take on President Nixon. And Jerry Seinfeld said, "You really have quality balls." Not an expression you think of with a Jewish film festival, but you know, there you go.
I also want to, since I have you here, one of your screeners is a personal friend of mine. His name's Larry Parsky. Just want to give a shout out to Larry Parsky up in Palm Beach.
He's
Ellen,
great.
I want to wrap this with one final question. The one thing you'd like people to take away from this film festival is?
The one thing I think people should take away from this film festival is they're great films. You're going to be entertained. You're going to be engaged. And you know, it would be great if you learned a little something too. That we would like. But I think that the best thing is you'll have fun and you'll see films that you may never get an opportunity to see again.
Absolutely. Sounds great. Best of luck.
Thank you.
The Palm Beach Jewish Film Festival will be held January 15th through February 8th. Screenings are at the Kravis Center for the Performing Arts in West Palm, Cinemark Palace in Boca Raton, Cobb Theaters downtown in Palm Beach Gardens, Frank Theaters in Delray Beach, and Movieco City Place in West Palm Beach. For more information, go to pbjff.org or call 877-318-0071. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Dan Hudak.
Chairman Emeritus of the Florida Film Critics Circle, Dan Hudak is a nationally syndicated film critic. You can visit him online at punchdrunkmovies.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the aus and fade, with shafafa on the side.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is grits. Grits are a form of hominy and are often called hominy grits. The word is from an old English word for bran or possibly griot, which was their word for ground. Whole hominy is made from the whole dried kernels of corn with the hull and germ removed. The kernels may be white or yellow, which accounts for why grits are as well. My first encounter with grits was in a period of my life when I was still a breakfast cook. That was at the Pier House in Key West in 1978. Willie was a houseman there. A houseman is a hotel term that means like a male fix-it man or fix-it man. It can make a fella surly. A few weeks after I was trained as kitchen breakfast cook number two, my boss, Miss Betty, told me how I would have to cook Willie's breakfast because she was over it. There would be no further need for discussion. When Betty spoke in the way that she did on this subject, it was a directive every Marine would understand in every cell of their body. You didn't agree or disagree. You adjusted, like gravity or G-force. Mr. Willie's standard issue breakfast was two eggs sunny side up with a big pool of soft white grits topped with two slices of yellow American cheese. Being from the North, I was not acquainted with grits growing up. I wasn't sure if I could tell when they were fixed correctly to anyone's specifications in that they really seemed useless to me back then. Over time, I became a convert. My raised-in-the-South son, Justin, was the man who caused me to have this change of heart. After an initial shock at his ordering them during a road trip our family embarked upon, and his turning the table on us, as his parents were the type to say repeatedly, "You don't have to like the food, but you do have to try it," he used the very same sentence on me, and I was boxed in. It was a box of grits. So, with some minor trepidation, I took a spoonful from his held-out-to-me plate. Whether it was the earnest hope imbued upon his sweet face or simply the winning combination of corn in this form with a fat pat of farm-fresh butter, I was suddenly sailing down a sensual, delicious swanee of grits goodness. I began to experiment with grits in a variety of forms, textures, recipes, and combos. I served them with everything from pork belly to foie gras. I even ate them in a cafeteria in a western part of Broward County with barbecued brisket that I would drive back to again if I could just remember where the heck it was. They had a killer jukebox, but that is hard to Google. Brunswick stew is my first course if any listeners might be able to point me in the right direction. Back to our man Willie. He was very suspicious of me when he came by the first morning to pick up his breakfast. "Where's Betty?" he demanded. He saw my youth and informed me that Miss Betty must have forgotten to tell me that he got a dozen slices of crispy bacon every day, too. I wasn't going to argue, and after a few weeks and a crate of bacon, his distrust melted like gooey cheese over those grits. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Bacon. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And we welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Deborah, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Ed. A happy and a healthy to you and to all of the listeners, and a wonderful Happy New Year.
Thank you.
So I'm going to launch right in because I am hard-pressed. There is so much going on the next 2 weeks.
Yes.
That I'm really hard-pressed to get to more than just this weekend alone.
We need a whole show.
Right. I need three shows, it looks like. But I'm going to just start and encourage everybody right out of the gate. Check out the calendar listings at miamidadearts.org. That's all one word, miamidadearts.org, because I'm barely going to scratch the surface, and I'm not exaggerating. I'm going to start with, if you haven't already been able to participate in some of the Young Arts Week performances, this is the annual gathering here in Miami where 170 of the most talented high school virtuosi in the country come to perform and be adjudicated by the master artists of their disciplines. And they've been performing all week throughout Miami, principally at Miami Beach's New World Center and at the Young Arts Campus here in downtown. And tonight is the writers' time to get their work read and evaluated. So there will be readings tonight by all these young writers and a film screening and then a Young Arts Jazz Combo featuring none other than our own Nicole Henry. And that's, again, tonight at the campus of Young Arts right here in downtown at 2100 Biscayne Boulevard. You really can't believe how brilliant these students are, so go check that out. These are the students from whom the Presidential Scholars in the Arts are selected every year, so it's a very big deal. Also tonight at the Arts Center, it's an evening with Arturo Sandoval and friends. Sandoval is bringing together some of our best-known artists locally, including Albita, Willy Chirino, Amaury Gutierrez, with the Frost School of Music, Henry Mancini Institute, Big Band, all to celebrate Cuban-American music. Sandoval, of course, is a 10-time Grammy and Emmy-winning trumpeter and the recipient of the 2013 Presidential Medal of Freedom. This is going to be a brilliant concert, as they always are through the Jazz Roots series, and that's tonight at the Arts Center right here in downtown. Still more wonderful music and legendary performers tonight at the Aventura Arts and Cultural Center, that's on Northeast 188th Street, is a program titled Stormy Weather, the Music of Lena Horne, featuring Mary Wilson of the Supremes, singing the songs that made Lena Horne famous. And again, that's tonight at the Aventura Cultural Arts Center. And then tomorrow night at the Aventura Arts and Cultural Center is Tiempo Libre, the Afro-Cuban, three-time Grammy-nominated Cuban group from Miami, one of the hottest today, and they will be performing classical, jazz, and Cuban rhythms and just a blisteringly hot concert tomorrow night at the Aventura Arts and Cultural Center.
They are super.
I love them. I truly love them. Then also tomorrow at History Miami, we're celebrating Viva Puerto Rico. You can enjoy Puerto Rican music, food, and culture with Plena Es, the South Florida Folklife Center Heritage Spotlight Artist. There'll be activities all day long, including a kids' corner, some wonderful traditional delicious treats, an array of craft activities inspired by Puerto Rican traditions. And that's tomorrow at History Miami. Tomorrow night at Temple Israel of Greater Miami, that's right on Northeast 19th Street here in downtown, is the 7th annual Winter Jewish Music Concert, featuring artists from all around the country and South Florida performing an incredible range of Jewish music from Yiddish, Ladino, Israeli, Sephardic to cantorial, classical, jazz, pop, folk. It is a true smorgasbord of phenomenal inspired music, and that's at Temple Israel of Greater Miami on Northeast 19th Street tomorrow night. In the same area, a little further northwest in Wynwood, Miami Light Project is presenting Bombillo, featuring DJ Power, Mr. Power, and the second Saturday music party extravaganza. There'll be phenomenal electropical music and special guests from all around the globe, and that's tomorrow night at the Lightbox at the Goldman Warehouse in Wynwood at 404 Northwest 26th Street. Well, I'm told you, it's crazy. We can't even get out of this weekend. Also tomorrow night at the New World Center is the second annual Miami Beach Jazz Festival, featuring an incredible lineup of artists, including Bucky Pizzarelli, Monty Alexander, Rufus Reed, Giacomo Gates, Aria Hendrix, Federico Britos, on just an amazing lineup, and that's tomorrow night at the New World Center on Miami Beach. Also tomorrow night at Pinecrest Gardens, it's jazz time, so you and I are happy. But also tomorrow night at Pinecrest Gardens is the Pinecrest Gardens Jazz Series featuring none other than Freddie Cole Quartet, and followed on Sunday also at Pinecrest Gardens with the Fine Arts Festival featuring another of our region's premier juried art showcases. So enjoy yourself, get out and enjoy some great music and then some wonderful art at Pinecrest Gardens. Also tomorrow at Bayfront Park, it's the first annual Doggy Fest. You're going to not want to miss this. The pooches and dog lovers alike will be very happy and entertained. There'll be pet adoptions, contests, obstacle courses, vendor booths, live music and entertainment, and of course, the all-important doggy fashion and talent shows. And that's at the downtown Bayfront Park here in downtown. And then also on Sunday at Biscayne National Park is the Family Fun Fest. That's down at Southwest 328th Street in Homestead, and a magnificent fun day to be out in the Everglades and really enjoying one of our great national and natural treasures that we have right here in our community.
Deborah, where can we find out about these and more events?
Please check everything out. There are literally dozens and dozens of other options at MiamiDadeArts.org. That's MiamiDadeArts.org.
We thank Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Great busy weekend to you, ma'am.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, Ed.
And the Broward 100 Lecture Series presents Tony Farelli's Historical and Hysterical Tourism, a fresh take on the rich and colorful history of tourism in Fort Lauderdale. The event is free and open to the public, but an RSVP is required. So call 954-463-4431 if you're interested. Once again, it's this Monday, January 12th at 6 p.m. at the New River Inn Museum of History, 231 Southwest 2nd Avenue in Fort Lauderdale. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Andy Wagner, our technical director. We'd also like to thank Charles Greenfield, Dan Hudak, Norman Van Aken, and Deborah Margol, our contributors today. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman. Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye and joy.